Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. And can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owens.
Everyone, hope you're having a great night worshiping God, coming together as the body of believers. It is great to be able to be a Christian and to be able to be named among God's people. It is a privilege that we ought not to ever take for granted. A little girl came home from Sunday school class. And her daddy said, "Sweetheart, what did you learn today?" And she said, "My teacher says that in the Bible it says to study, be quiet, mind your own business, and keep your hands to yourself." Now I want to ask you what she asked her daddy. Does the Bible say that? Well, it certainly says something close to it. Take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to look in verse 10 and following. "And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." Now, in the New American Standard Version, as well as the King James Version, it says there to study there preceding those words. See, the Bible tells us that in no uncertain terms that we are to mind our business. I think about passages like 1 Peter chapter 4, and that passage in verse 14 and 15, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler or busybody in other people's matters. He said, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Well, you say, Paul, what exactly is a meddler? Or some translations say a troublesome meddler. Well, a meddler is someone who minds other people's business. I mean, that is a person that you and I know that they put their nose and other people's affairs. Meddler in the Greek is a compound word that means to be another's superintendent. How about that? I mean, has that ever happened to you? That there's maybe someone in your life that has difficulty running their own affairs, but they always find it convenient to try to run yours, and they have a hard time running theirs? That's somebody who's a busybody. That's somebody who is a meddler. Well, here's another passage, and this one comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. It says, and besides, it says, they learn to be idle. Paul is talking to Timothy about these young widows. And he says, they learn to be idle. I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, we don't come into this world idle, do we? You watch little children, they're busy. But somewhere alive, people learn to be idle. He said, going from house to house. He says, not only idle, he said, but they are gossipers. They're busybodies, saying things that they ought not. W.E. Vine says of that word, busybody, he simply says this. He says, one who meddles with or runs about other people's matters. So So look, the Bible tells us to mind our own business. But did you know that the Bible also tells us that there are times when we need to be concerned about the affairs of another? I mean, sometimes to the point that we need to say, hey, I need to, look into what's going on here with your life. Perhaps they are involved in sin or something like that. And so, how do we know? You say, here's verses that say, mind your own business. There are other verses that say, look out for other people and intervene when it's necessary. How do I know what is appropriate? Have you ever gotten that wrong before in your life? Well, if you don't want to admit it, I'll admit it for you. I've done that a few times. Sometimes a situation has arisen that I've said, you know what? I need a help in that matter. And then as time passes and then circumstances unfold, I think, you know what? I did the wrong thing. I should not have gotten into this. And then there have been other times when I said, you know what? I'm just going to mind my own business about this situation. And then as time goes on, I said, you know what? If I would have only said something, this and this and this probably would not have happened. So look, I want to tell you tonight that, this whole idea of sorting out our responsibility in this area is a matter of Christian maturity. And if we can get it right, we will have a greater Christian influence in the church, but also out of the church. And it's very important. I mean, it is critical. It's critical for maintaining a peaceful relationship. So I want you to get your Bibles ready because we are going to look at a lot of verses tonight. And first of all, we want to look at those passages where God says, mind your own business. Now, according to the Bible, we are to mind our own business when God blesses another person and we may feel slighted a little bit, or maybe we feel just a little bit jealous. Take your Bibles and let's turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We'll begin there in verse 15. You remember this is when Peter at the seashore, and it says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who's going to betray you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Follow me. Did you catch it? Did you catch it in our reading? Did you see it? I mean, it doesn't seem right, does it? Sometimes it doesn't seem fair that when maybe we have to suffer for our faith and another brother or sister, they don't have to suffer. We have this thing about fairness, don't we? I mean, when God blesses another member of the Lord's church and He blesses them in a very tangible and visible way, we think, where's mine? I mean, am I not as deserving as He is? or turn the coin over, and when we have to suffer for Jesus Christ, we say, Lord, why me? Why now? Why not somebody else? And what would the Lord say to us? He would say the same thing that He said to Peter. Peter, mind your own business. What is that to you? He says, follow me. Somebody is promoted, and you think that it should have been you. Maybe you work hard here at the West Huntsville Church of Christ, and you're involved in this ministry or that ministry, and you put in several hours, and you do your very best. And perhaps Glenn or myself happen to say something about a work and maybe highlight a person's name in that ministry, but it's not you. And maybe that other person gets a little more honor, and you think, you know what? I work just as hard, if not more. Why didn't they say my name? How do you handle that? You know what Satan would do? Listen, Satan would have you to be jealous, to become angry, and then let that anger lead to bitterness. But I want to tell you something. God providentially cares for us in all things. He has promised ultimately to bring about good in our lives. But you know what? He has not revealed how He is going to do it. Nor has He given us the assurance that He is going to work the same plan in all of our lives the exact same way. Rarely does the Lord ever do anything exactly like we think He is going to do it, right? I love Romans chapter 11, verse 34. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? You see, we know that God's ways are much higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. So listen, the way God fulfills His promises in your life, that is His business, not yours. But the way that you respond faithfully and trust Him, even when He works things and He works them in a way that you don't expect or what you deem to be fair, we still trust Him. And so that's the case where you and I have to mind our own business, where the Lord says, Paul, Owen, you follow me. Don't you worry about this person over here. You follow me. Second place where we ought to mind our own business is when we would exclude others from the kingdom of God that God would want included. Now, this is a passage that we don't talk about very much, but let's go over to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 is a very interesting passage, and I want to look at it. I want to start at verse 22, and we'll read down to verse 30. And He went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one of them said, Lord, are there few who are saved? And He said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter it and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knocking at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And He will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and we drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But He will say, I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, they are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. Now, it's a difficult passage because we really don't know 100% the motivation of the man who asked this particular question. But given the response by Jesus, it appears that this was one of those questions by the Jews. It really wasn't a question at all. I mean, he wasn't looking an answer for Jesus. He already had his opinion. We Jews are the only ones who are going to be saved, right? Isn't that right? I mean, we are the chosen ones, right? And maybe he wanted Jesus to respond, yes, yes, you and all of your relatives will be the only ones that are saved. And what he was doing is he was checking out Jesus' orthodoxy, finding out if Jesus had the same idea about Jewish exclusiveness as he did. But Jesus did not answer him in the way that he thought, because basically, if you read the passage, what Jesus said is, mind your own business. Pay attention to yourself to make sure that you do not fail to enter. The kingdom of God does not have to do with issues of nationality. What will matter are those people who have obeyed me. That's basically what he says. You see, the Lord was going to reach out in just a few years to the Gentiles. He alluded to it in some of his parables, you know. And for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, it was unconscionable for him to do such a thing. And so they said, no, may it never be. And so they wanted to exclude those people that God wanted to include. And if we do that, we have ceased minding our own business and we have started minding God's business. Take your Bibles, let's turn to another passage. I want to show you how prevalent this idea was among the Jews and even Peter. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to look in verse 28. You know, this is when Peter comes to Cornelius, and this is what he says. This is what Peter says to him in verse 28. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now go down to verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So that's what the Lord said. He says, look, it is the person who wants to do my will, those people who obey the gospel, 1 Peter 4:17, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, and who serve me faithfully, those will be the people who will enter in. And so that was the Lord's take on it. You say, well, Paul, we don't do that today. I want to say that sometimes we make a judgment call about who will and who will not be receptive to the gospel. Isn't that right? I mean, we say, well, neighbor so-and-so, you know, I'm not even going to talk to him because I know that he doesn't want anything. Well, how do we know? You look, some of the people who will be saved, it will surprise you. I mean, maybe no one in the world would have ever gone to the Ethiopian eunuch because he was royalty. He was the treasure of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. And so maybe no one would ever go. But look, his heart was wide open. And there, Paul, it is the persecutor of the church. I can't in my wildest dreams ever imagine someone like Paul coming to Christ. Matter of fact, that's the way the other apostles felt about it too. When Barnabas took him to the apostles. And so, I have two neighbors, one on the right hand and one on the left. The one on the right hand, we've been working for some time, and it looked like that, you know, things would really progress quickly. Well, they're progressing slowly. And on the left, I thought, you know, this person probably is never going to be receptive to the Lord. But this person now is showing more interest. You see there? So we have to have no partiality. James 2 verse 9 says that it is sin. And that we have to those that we come in contact with, share the gospel. And not make judgment calls and say who is or who is not going to respond to the Lord. I don't think we have this song in our hymn book. But I like it. James Rowe wrote this, and it's, you never mentioned him to me. It says, "When in the bitter land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be if any lost one there should cry in deep despair." You never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word where'er it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, "You showed me not the way." You never mentioned him to me. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his aid, or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, "You never mention him to me." So let's be careful that we share the gospel with all those who are around us. The third instance where we ought to mind our own business is when other people are having squabbles. In 1894, the Baltimore Orioles went to Boston to play a routine game. But do you know what? What happened that day was anything but routine. You see, Baltimore's third baseman, John McGraw, got in a fight with one of the Boston players. And here they are fighting on the field. And do you know what happened? You know what happens when two players fight, don't you? What happens? Both benches cleared and all these other players got right in the middle of the fight. Well, you know what happened with that fight? It started to spread into the grandstands. I mean, and the fight in the grandstands went from bad to worse. Someone set fire, burned the stadium down, and before it was all said and done, 107 other buildings in Boston were either damaged or destroyed by fire. Fights are like that, aren't they? Listen to the wise man, what he says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. He says, "Like one who takes a dog by the ears," he says, "is one who passes by and meddles in strife not belonging to him." Don't you know that some people love a good scrap? I mean, don't they? I mean, they can smell a fight from a long way away, and they'll just jump right in it. But you know what the Scripture says? Stay out of it. Mind your own business. Well, you say, "Paul, does that mean that we should never get involved into the lives of others and into the affairs of others, into the business of others?" Well, I want to give you a few instances where the Bible says that we should mind other people's business. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. "When there is a faltering brother or sister in sin that needs to be restored, that, my friend, is our business. That is our business. They are our brother and sister." Look what it says. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself." Here's the warning, "lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I pray that if somewhere down the line, that if I go astray and doing something that I ought not to be, that you, my brother and sister, will come to me and try to restore me and talk some sense into me. Isn't that right? Has that ever happened to you? A person that... It's happened in this church, hasn't it? Where many of you have reached out and tried to help an erring brother or sister. I remember I was, I guess I was 25 or 26 years old. But I was working at a church where one of our young men, he was 17, 18 years old, and he had a couple of brothers in the church as well. And his dad was a rough and tough kind of guy. I mean, wonderful guy. He owned a concrete plant. And he was a faithful member of the church and good family. And one day, one of the young people told to me, and I'll call him Gary. That's not his real name, but we'll just say that. Gary, I think he's in some trouble. And I said, well, you know, I've noticed that he has not been involved as he was before. He doesn't come to the functions like, you know, I have noticed that. And so then someone told me later, about a week later, that, you know, that they thought that there were some problems going on. And it just so happens, that same night that I got that information, that I was at the gas station, I saw this man, I saw this young man, Gary, and he had pulled up next to some other vehicles that looked like with some underworld characters. And he was, had his head in their vehicle, and I thought, this doesn't look good. And so I went to the young man, and I said, will you come to my office and talk with me? He said, sure. I said, Gary, someone has told me that you are hanging out with the wrong kind of people, that you are involved with drugs. Is it true? Hold on. Think about how you're going to answer before you answer. I want you to tell me the truth. God is listening, Gary. And he swallowed real hard, and he said, none of it's true. I said, none of it's true? I said, this person, they're all wrong? That was on, I believe that was on a Sunday afternoon. That next day, Monday, his older brother came to my office with tears in his eyes. And he said, I know my brother Gary has been smoking marijuana. He says, I know it. And so, was I going to mind my own business? No. I went to his dad's concrete plant. I went into his office. I sat down. I closed the door. And I told him everything. His dad, I wasn't sure exactly how he would respond. You know, I did like this. He got up and he gave me a big hug. He went and picked up his wife. They went and got Gary's car from school, brought Gary home and asked him about it. He denied it. He said, no, you know what? People are against me. And so his dad, being a very wise man, said, well, you know what? Now, this is about 6 o'clock in the evening. He says, we're going to go to the health department and you're going to be tested. Because if you've had anything to do with marijuana, it's going to be in your system for 30 days. We're going to test you. And so they got in the car and they drove and they got to the health clinic and they opened the door. Gary got out, was walking on the sidewalk up to the door. And he said, Dad, I did it. That young man is still a faithful member of the Lord's church. Someone had to intervene into his business. I asked his dad, I said, the health clinic was open at 6 o'clock? He said, no, they closed at 5. He said, but Gary didn't know that. Another instance in when we as Christians have to know when we ought to mind other people's business. And this, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It has to do with elders of the Lord's church, the shepherds of the church, which says, obey those who rule over you, being submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who will give an account. So our shepherds, and men, some of you will be elders one day, you must give an account. In J.J. Turner's book, is entitled, Shepherds Wake Up, he talks about that accounting one day. And in his mind, he says, what a meeting! Men from every nation under heaven wearing white robes with a glow on their face and a new song in their hearts. Homecoming. Eternity has just begun, just as God promised. It will not be missed by a single elder shepherd. Jesus is the central figure in the gathering. All eyes on Him, the chief shepherd, as He calls the names of His elder shepherds who are safe at last in heaven. In this gathering, all men who have served the church as a shepherd will be there. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. 1 Peter 5:4. This gathering is the ultimate elders meeting, or should I say, celebration meeting. Just imagine what a group that will be. Shepherds from every church, beginning with the first century and continuing until the Lord returns. Each shepherd giving an account of the sheep that were in His fold. What a joy it will be to see the chief shepherd face to face. Now that's pretty sobering, isn't it? And so our shepherds have a job to do, to make sure that the Word of God is taught in its truth and its purity here, that there's no false doctrine that is taught here, to watch out for your souls. It may be that they say to you, you know, I haven't seen you in a few weeks. How are things going? It may be, you know, I've noticed that you're not involved as you used to be. Is there anything that we need to know that we can help you with? It may be a brother or sister who has gone off in sin. And that elder must look at that person and say, will you come back? If you do not come back, you are going to be lost. You are going to go to hell, with tears in his eyes. That's a responsibility, that they will give an account for all of us. And so anytime an elder has something to say to me and says, you know what? I'm going to listen because I know they love me and they want the very best for me. And I know that one day that they will have a given account for the way that they shepherd my soul. So thank the Lord for our wonderful shepherds here at West Huntsville. Third way that we ought to mind other people's business. And you know what this is? This is one that we can all do. Evangelizing our lost neighbors. Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Don't you mind your own business on this one. No, sir. You be sure that you open your mouth and you speak up and you spread the gospel message. Because if you don't, there'll be some that are lost that should not be lost. You know that right now that there are those in the Lord's church who are going into Iraq as missionaries? Isn't that great? I mean, people who are going to mind other people's business. And the Taliban has spoken out about it. They say that if they find someone teaching the Bible and Christianity, that they will execute them. They say, you know what? Mind your own business. And what do we say? We cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and that we have heard. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. And so today, in today's age, maybe this is one that we might want to just kind of mind our own business and keep silent. But we must not. There's a dying world that's waiting for us to show and to tell about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the gospel plan of salvation. You see, if we're going to do something and make a great impact, then we have to be together. We have to get along. We have to have that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. And part of that getting along together, it involves what we're talking about tonight. Knowing when to speak up and knowing when to mind our own business. And I pray that maybe some of the passages that we've studied tonight will help us But you know, every day we need to pray for wisdom. Lord, help me to know. Help me to know what I should do in this situation. Help me to have wisdom and discernment. And I know that as we do, that we're going to be a more and more harmonious church, united with a common goal of spreading the gospel. Maybe it is tonight that you're here and you have not obeyed the gospel. It is being preached tonight. Will you come in simple, trusting faith, saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of those sins, coming up here, we have water prepared, we have clothing prepared. You can be baptized into Christ just like the Christians were back in Acts chapter 2, the day that the church began. Will you do that tonight as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.